to the 217th episode of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. My name is Jamie Delaney, and I'm your host. I'm a plant-based cardiologist and endurance athlete living in Southwest Florida. Welcome, and thanks for listening. It's raining here. Best wishes to all those people in Louisiana for all of their rain. We're just getting a mild taste of it. So be safe if you're in the Louisiana area and getting hit hard by the rain. It's that time of year in the South where we have to watch out for hurricanes and tropical storms. It's kind of crazy. Have to do your doing my training around the raindrops a little bit. Managed to get my swim in this morning. Didn't rain. Of course, you know, in Florida, it just doesn't rain. It thunders and lightning, so that's why you really have to be careful. So got the swim in. Adding my speed work little by little just to ease it up gradually. Some interval work, doing some hill work, and doing a little speed plyo type things with my weight training once or twice a week. So hopefully I can keep this ever-aging body, even though it's plant-based, to maintain or to get a little bit more speed. So far, so good. Haven't seen any decrease in my ability to do things, so we're going to keep that on a positive note and keep pushing because I have some lofty goals for the Ironman and then marathon season to try to get faster. So I'll keep you in tune about that. I'm still incorporating my breathing and heart rate variability to that. We'll talk a little bit more about how that goes. I had an interesting question at a talk that I gave from someone in the audience. She asked. She said that she was anticipating on going to either med school or to become an MD or a DO or perhaps a naturopath. So obviously she hadn't been accepted anywhere, and she's trying to figure out what to do. And she liked the idea of preventative medicine, and she wanted to know what I would recommend since our practice, you know, has changed, and I'm certainly changing the way I practice. You know, for those of you that are new to the podcast, I was trained as I did internal medicine residency and a cardiology fellowship. I was on faculty at West Virginia for a while, and then came down to Florida and went to private practice, consultative cardiology, where I did cardiac catheterizations and pacemakers and stress tests and echo. I've been the director of the echocardiography lab at the local hospital, as well as the director of rehab, and had a traditional practice until 2 years ago, or almost 2 years ago, when I went to a membership-based practice to focus more on prevention. I started with 5 years of teaching a nutrition class, and that's where I really started to see people becoming better, and was able for the first time in my life to ever take people off of their blood pressure medicines and their cholesterol medicines and insulin and their all their other diabetic medicines. And I really wanted to change the way I practiced, but it wasn't easy because I was trained to do intervention and trained in sort of a high adrenaline type field, you know, in cardiology. People's hearts stop, you start at acute heart, it's acute care medicine, you know, in intensive care work. And to go from that to almost completely office-based was a big transition. But I'm very much a believer that, you know, each step of your path leads you in the right direction of, you know, where you ultimately, you know, should be. And I think that that path for me was exactly as it needed to be. I needed the training that I have to understand, you know, the basic science of pathology. Well, we start out with, you know, this understanding, and as an MD medical school, you go through anatomy and physiology and microbiology and pharmacology, and then you hit pathology. And so basically you learn how things work normally, and then you work how you find out how things work abnormally and what goes wrong with things, and then you learn the pharmacology and interventions, surgical interventions or what have you, to be able to fix the things that go wrong. And so most physicians are, you know, you're learning to treat things when they're broken, not before they're broken. Other people can do that, so supposedly. So we're saving, you know, the physicians, the medical doctors, for when things are really, really broke, then we're going to come in and save the day and fix things. And that's how we're all trained and come to believe for the most part. And it's a somewhat of a rude awakening that all those things that we were doing to fix didn't really fix anything. It patched things up as best. And so when we treat high blood pressure, it probably saves a few people from having a stroke and kidney failure and, you know, certainly prevents some morbidity over time. But it never fixes the blood pressure and makes it go away to the point where they don't need the medicine anymore, the underlying pathology of that. And same way with diabetes and same way with cardiovascular disease. So it's, you know, it's a false sense of security that we're actually fixing things and treating things when we're kind of patching things up. And there is an opportunity to back up the clock and to turn things around. But, you know, by this plant-based nutrition and exercise and a whole new focus on letting the body heal itself, if we can have people get out of the way and get rid of the things that are causing the problems in the first place. So you need to be able to have the background to understand the physiological problems that people have and how the body works, and to be able to understand how the treatment. So I still, as a plant-based cardiologist that I'll call myself now, I might as well say that I'm more of an internist now, because I'm treating more diseases than I did when I was a cardiologist. People come in, you know, with all kinds of different whether they're autoimmune diseases or Parkinson's, neuropathies, you know, they've had vascular disease with a stroke or peripheral vascular disease, or perhaps they have musculoskeletal injuries with spinal, you know, spinal disease or muscular disease or osteoarthritis or injuries or falls, you know, and just basic infections. So I'm seeing so much more of that than I ever did. And I need to be able to diagnose, because there still are times when people have infections that they need antibiotics. So I have to be able to do those things as well as to help people get out of their own way and let their body heal themselves. And, you know, when I talk to this person, you know, when I was in medical school and we learned certain things that, you know, there are certain things that were more boring than other things. I have to say I liked most things, but there were a couple pathways and things that we would have to memorize. And you would think to yourself, well, I really never use that because I'm going to become a cardiologist and I don't need to know how blood coagulates. But it, you know, it turns out that stents became a part of the treatment and people with coronary artery disease, and we had to put people on blood thinners. So you needed to know how to manage anticoagulation. And, you know, so there's, you know, all kinds of things come, you know, that you didn't think you were going to maybe use, or it seems like it would be rare, that actually happens. And so it's being the best. So I guess my answer to that person and anybody thinking about, you know, what career path that they'd like to choose, I think you need to be the most educated that you possibly can so that you can evaluate people and make the best diagnosis and decision line that you possibly can for them. It's not cookbook medicine. It's not disease. You know, we talk about, you know, people say the gallbladder in room 213 or the leg in 414 or the heart attack in 223. It's not an isolated system. The body is part of part of the human, part of the soul, and the whole person goes together. Not only that person, but their family and how it all fits together. So the more training that you have in all of those, the better. And I think just like everything else, whether it's the life hacks or people want to the short course, the weekend course to be a trainer of whatever, or a nutritionist or whatever. I think that you can find the Cliff Note version of about any field that you want, but to really have a passion about healthcare and the body and helping people, I think that you have to get the most education that you possibly can get. And I don't think that I certainly would have never been able to achieve that amount of concentrated learning that I did in the 4 years of medical school. And the hours that I spent as a resident and fellow, you know, up and all through the night and all those other kind of things, you gain a tremendous amount of experience. Like people, Malcolm Gladwell talks about the 10,000, I believe it's him that talks about the 10,000 hours. And, you know, to do anything well, you need to be able to put the time in, and there's no real shortcuts to anything. So I do believe that you need to know how to take care of, you need to understand the workings of the human and the pathologies of the human and the medications that are used to treat humans, because you're never going to be able to see people that aren't on medications for the most part in the near foreseeable future. So you need to know how all those works and figure out what's into the equation of what's making people sick. Sometimes it's actually the medications themselves that may be causing other diseases that need to be treated. So bottom line is the more educated that you possibly can, the better, whatever field that you choose to go. But I don't think that, you know, just giving somebody a book and saying, you know, these are the six things you should eat every day, or this is a menu plan for everybody, is really the way to health and wellness. So anyway, that's my two cents for that person. Of course, there was a recent article on physician burnout in the news. And I think mainly that is because physicians aren't doing what they thought they would be, you know, going to do. I don't know how I managed to say that, but, you know, it's not as glamorous as the medical TV shows would have it. And, you know, we're not jumping in and saving the day every day. Life is not one acute event after another. So medicine can be a little mundane, and, you know, after a while, especially if you're in a specialty, you're kind of doing the same thing over and over. And if you're in a traditional medical practice now, you need to see a whole lot more patients than you did 30 years ago. So instead of 5 or 10 a day, people are seeing 30 and 40 and 50 people a day. Even hospitals are rounding on, you know, 50, 60, 70 people a day with the help of their ancillary healthcare providers, maybe seeing 90 patients a day. And they're just going around putting out fires, and it's very stressful, and they're not seeing good results, and people are not or don't appear to be appreciative. In some instances, they probably don't have a reason to be appreciative because they're not really getting better. There's more and more paperwork to be done that nobody ever told you about in medical school. So physicians are getting burned out. And it's unfortunate. I've given talks at family medicine practices about what I do, and they get really excited and they want to be able to, you know, how do you practice this way? But just like people that want to become plant-based, there's so many people, you know, 96% of the world is not plant-based. And so it's hard to make that leap to be an early adopter into plant-based nutrition. It's hard to make that leap to be an early adopter into a different kind of practice of medicine and say, stop, this is what I want to do and this is how I want to do it. And I want people to matter, and I want to help people for the sake of helping people. And I'm going to, you know, say no to some of the bureaucracy and figure out a way to keep the doors open and pay the bills. And, you know, again, that's why I find this particular form of practice very rewarding. Because we are seeing and having so much fun helping people to actually get better. And the cooking classes, nutrition classes are you know, very enjoyable. Each class is a little bit different. The discussions that we have about healthcare and what people can do, the patients that join the practice are interested in helping themselves and becoming better educated at what they can do, and they're on a journey to become healthy. Some of the patients I've known for 20 years, and they're more healthy now than they were when I met them, which is very, very rewarding. I have people in their 80s that are, a lady now is actually starting to produce insulin. She was thought to have crossed over to become an insulin-dependent diabetic type 1. She wasn't making her eyelid cells weren't making much insulin, and now all of a sudden she's improving after a couple years of being plant-based. More and more people are coming off of their insulin, They're achieving ideal body weights. Their chest pain's going away. So that's all a great way to practice. And it certainly makes up for not being in the adrenaline rush situation where sometimes you win and sometimes you lose. I want to share a story from a patient that I think represents a lot of people. She is a diabetic, and she's trying, obviously we're working to get her diabetes under control and actually reverse her diabetes and get her off of medications is the ultimate goal. And she has her exercise in place, which is really good. So she's doing that. She was on 2 or 3 oral medications plus insulin, so we're down to just the insulin. And, I have people email me in the morning with their glucose 3 hours after dinner and the fasting glucose in the morning. And we use that, and I've said it multiple times on the podcast, to use it as feedback of what happens after you, your selections for the day. That end of the day glucose is really a reflection of what you've had to eat. So if you had oil at lunchtime, you're going to cause more of a rise in your glucose for the rest of the day than if you didn't. And it helps people to become aware of what they eat and see the different numbers. And then that morning AM fasting glucose is a reflection of how good their body is under their glucose is under control, or the diabetes is under control. And when we really have them adjusted well, and we get them off medications and their glucose normalizes, we know we've made it. And I say that in a sense that we've made it. And some people would get all the way off of their insulin, yet they have a bad day and their glucose spikes way up. And you'll say, well, you really didn't cure them. You cured them as long as they're eating correctly. And that's very much true, especially if people haven't obtained their ideal body weight or normal body mass index, because they probably still have some abnormalities of glucose metabolism because of fat in the cell and uptake, and perhaps decreased production of insulin or insulin resistance because of their microbes. So things aren't quite right, especially early on. But we also know that people that don't have diabetes, if they have a high fat infusion, or they either it's intravenously or they eat it orally, they have glucose intolerance. So bad eating, whether you're have a normal BMI or an abnormal BMI, will result in glucose intolerance. But certainly, it can be much more profound if someone's BMI is elevated. So this particular person is still very much in the early stages of plant-based nutrition. She has kind of been through a program, an immersion program, and achieved some good control, and then fell off the wagon, so to speak, as far as being able to comply with her nutrition. So she's on a fair amount of insulin, and she had a bad day. Breakfast, usually is okay for most people. They can do their oatmeal with blueberries and flaxseed, and nobody's too bothered by that, and it tastes good. And she got her usual exercise in, but then dinner and going out to a restaurant caused all kinds of problems with, fancy. It was a vegan tartare, but it had a lot of different oils and toppings, and then there was bread, and so there was a few small bites of tasting. And when people say a few small bites, no, everybody gets that wrong. People don't realize how much they consume, especially if they've been over consumers. So, which was followed by a vegetable pho that you would think would be okay. But then there's, so that should be a pretty good plate of food. But then tried some of her husband's turkey's meatballs and his homemade rolls. So she crossed over, and I'm not sure what kind of a restaurant this was, but it obviously had a variety of food. And I would guess that they selected this restaurant because there were a fair amount of vegan, fairly healthy options. But yet she crossed over and had her husband's turkey meatballs and homemade rolls. And then they had dessert, with the whipped cream, which was dairy-free. And, she said, I thought it was tofu, but turned out it was coconut milk, so it's much worse. But the reality of it is now you're really into a very high calorie, even with the tofu. It is processed, so you're getting, you know, a fair amount of fat in the diet, even if it was tofu. But the coconut cream, it's usually a full, you know, when they make that out of the canned coconut milk, very, very fatty. And so that was bad. She felt bad when she got home. But then 11 o'clock, she ate again. And she started out, you know, with people, you know, you'll relate to this, that she started out with some fruit. She had some blueberries. That didn't do it. She had, you know, some carrots, and that didn't do it. And then she got into the chips. And, you know, so it was a day that just snowballed out of control. And so we talked about it, and, you know, she came to class, and, you know, I said, you know, you need to learn, use it as a learning experience. She saw the big rise in her glucose and her weight after the high salt, high fat meal. And we talked that, you know, what made you sick before is still going to make you sick. So getting into, you know, turkey meatballs that are very, very greasy. Some, for some reason, people think turkey is better than chicken and chicken is better than beef, but it's all bad. It's all fat, all high saturated fat. But, you know, what made you sick and blocked up your ability to get glucose into your body is still going to do it. It continues to do it. And, you know, there was obviously a plan to eat plant-based when they chose the dinner. But then there was this, you know, you know, going out, I'm going to splurge, I'm going to have dessert, but it's going to be, you know, we'll eat somewhat healthy. And then that little voice starts to talk to you. It's like, well, it's okay. I can have dessert. It's vegan. It'll be okay. And you really know deep down that that's not what you really want to do. And then you get home and you feel bad. And then one thing leads to another. It's like, oh, well, I blew it. I might as well have, you know, a little bit more food. And, you know, you get the munchies, you feel bad. Well, I'll try to eat healthy. And then you see the chips that are around and bad things happen. So, you know, we talked about that in class and, you know, about, you know, again, what made you sick before is going to make you sick again. And, you know, you have to create a little bit of space. You had the plan, which was a good plan, to go to a vegan, someplace where you had options, and then you have to stick to it. So that's when self-talk comes in. You know, I can do this. Just like you can get up a hill, you can talk yourself into things, and we're often, we cheer for everybody else except for ourselves. And I think in nutrition, there's not a lot of people cheering for you. You know, if you go to a race and you're the slowest guy there, and people are going to cheer you in. They always cheer so loud for the last guy. Boy, he made a really good effort. You know, even if he walked all the way in the last 100 yards, they're really going to cheer for that guy. He's done such a good job. What an effort. How much courage it took for him to do that exercise. But when somebody starts to eat right, and now they're going to try to eat plant-based, there's nobody encouraging them. You're on your own. If anything, you'll get, why are you eating this? You'll get somebody else's nutrition advice. You know, you need protein. Low carb works for me. Keto works for me. That diet isn't any good. I've heard somebody being anemic. You know, everybody has heard the drill. Nobody cheers for you. Anything else, people would cheer for you, but they're not going to cheer for you. And anything else in life, you would cheer for the underdog, but you'd never cheer for yourself. How many people cheer for themselves? Not you don't. If anything, you beat yourself up. I should have chose better. I screwed up with my nutrition. I can't do this. I've always been overweight. This is just how I am. I have bad genes. What am I fighting for this? Is it really going to make a difference? You know, so we don't cheer for ourselves. We set ourselves up for the ultimate failure so that everybody else can, you know, jump on the wagon. So you feel double bad because nobody was cheering for you in the first place and you weren't cheering for yourself. So I think that, you know, we create choice with our, we create space to allow us to make choices, but we have to start cheering for ourselves. We have to have that plan that, okay, I picked the vegan restaurant. There are options for me. I can do this. I can choose healthy. You look at the menu and it's like, nope. You know, there's a Beyond Burger there, but there are grilled vegetables, so I'm going to stick with the grilled vegetables. I'm going to stick with the grilled vegetables, and I'll have a baked potato. There's this thing that looks like it has a lot of different sauces on it. I'm not sure what's in there. The waitress can't really tell. I'm going to stay away from it. I'm going to stick with something that I know because I can do this. I will be plant-based. I am going to achieve my health goals. Because what are you doing this for in the first place? She's doing it to get healthy, to get her high blood pressure down, to get her glucose down, to fix her fatty liver, to get off her medications. All of those she's doing, and they're all possible. I can do this. But you can't do it by beating yourself up and allowing yourself to make those poor choices. So what happened the next day? Went to Busch Gardens. Actually came to nutrition class. We had bok choy salad last night. I do a bok choy with mandarin oranges, fresh mandarin oranges, or the halos cut up, pomegranate seeds, lemon juice with a tiny bit of maple syrup as a dressing. So I had that. She had that. Everything was good. You know, so she had her greens. We talked in class for an hour and a half. She went home, headed to Busch Gardens, got home actually, and got back into the same chips that she got back into the night before. So, you know, that those same, everything we talked about went out the window when she saw the chips. And it's just like, and so what would be the self-talk there? Well, they're here, they're open, I'll get rid of them. It's been a bad day. I might as well just let this go and we'll finish out the chips and start again. I don't know what's happening today at Busch Gardens, but there are a lot more things that you can choose poorly at Busch Gardens than choose correctly. So it's going to be really, really difficult. Lines are long. People are in line. There's so many temptations everywhere, fried food everywhere. It's going to be really difficult to get back on the wagon, especially if nobody's cheering for her. Because obviously her husband wasn't cheering for her. If your partner is trying to get off their diabetic medications, the thought that you can order a dessert, even vegan dessert, is crazy. So that was done selfishly by him, and so he wasn't cheering for her. So she has to be her own cheering section. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get extra steps in walking at Busch Gardens, and I'm going to choose this way. I'm going to be with my family, and I'm going to enjoy the day, and I'm going to enjoy it being healthy because I'm choosing correctly. It has to be a tremendous amount of self-talk, and you have to cheer for yourself. You have to say you can do it. I'm going to do it. You can't win unless you say you're going to do it. Eating what the crowd does doesn't make you a good guy. Giving in and saying, you know, my husband wants dessert, I'll do it for him, does not make you the better person. Because it's ultimately not helping him. Whether it's the sugar and the fat, you know, I don't know how healthy he is, but, you know, there's nobody immune to heart disease, cancer, diabetes, autoimmune disease, vascular disease, stroke. Nobody is immune to it. There's nobody that can eat a terrible diet their entire life and not pay the price. So by going over just to make somebody feel good that you're going to eat the bad things and eat the chips, it's not really going to help. I was once again back at the hairdresser's, and the person next to me, my cookbook's there, but the hairdresser next to me, she eats Twinkies. She's like, how long's it been since you have a Twinkie? Don't you want a Twinkie? Now they have Twinkies that are made in chocolate and made with different fillings. And it's like, I don't want a Twinkie. A Twinkie's not going to make me healthy. A Twinkie's not going to help me in any certain way. The other hairdresser said, I had a hot dog with bacon on it. I had a chicken breast with Philadelphia cream cheese and butter on it. It was so good. I just did it this once. For the most part, I did okay. I'm not tempted by it because it's not what I stand for. It's not part of why I do what I do. You know, what is your reason? I don't want to be sick. I don't want to get the diseases that my grandparents got. I don't want dementia, what my father had. I want to train and be able to do Ironman races and ultras as long as I'm on this planet, for as long as I possibly can. I want to be that 101-year-old on whatever kind of social media there is in 30 years that is setting some sort of a record. I can't do that eating whatever kind of filled Twinkies. I am sure of that. I want to give myself the best opportunity that I can to not get lifestyle diseases such as autoimmune diseases, dementia, cancer, and coronary artery disease. That's my role. I feel like I set a role for other people. If I, as a physician, don't do the right thing, how can I expect other people to do the right thing? So I'm not tempted. I don't have any desire to do those things that are going to impede me from getting to my goals. And I think that's, you know, what you really have to say. One of the members said, have you ever skydived? And turns out there's this thing that you can do that simulates skydiving, that you just hover over the ground not very far and you feel like you're skydiving. Well, first of all, I wouldn't want to skydive because I don't like the fear of falling. I don't really want to try to. It's not going to help me to be 101 and be a runner by jumping out of airplanes that I could break my legs and kill myself. So that is completely against my goal. So there's no reason for me to skydive. There's no reason to simulate skydiving because I don't care about that feeling because it's not going to help me to ultimately get to my goal. So that's an easy one. I don't skydive. You can't talk me into it. It's not going to help me to get where I am. So think about things as far as that. Food is the exact same thing. People say, how long before can I cheat? Well, when you do cheat, how much gas can you throw onto a fire and not make the flame worse? Every time people have a cheat day, they change not only what they've eaten, they change their microbe population, which alters their cravings, which changes their immune function. You get more inflammation in your body, and it takes time for this to settle down. So you just have to start again. It makes it so much harder. So a little bit is never any good. The American Diabetes Association proved that. They try to tell people they can eat just in moderation, eat a little bit of the bad things and you'll be okay. You'll be able to control your diabetes. Well, who wants to control diabetes? Diabetes causes all these different side effects. Controlling it causes all these little side effects. Borderline diabetes causes all these side effects. So so a little bit is not a little bit. A little bit is always a lot and always has repercussions. So I think that, again, it's just cheering for yourself and understanding why are you doing this in the first place. If you don't care if you live or die, then fine, you shouldn't be doing this. But most people don't want to be sick, don't want to spend all their money on being sick, don't want to spend all their money in the doctor's office, don't want to have people tell them what they have to do with their chemotherapy and their appointments and the risks versus benefits. They don't want to do that. And you have the opportunity to not do that by choosing to eat plant-based and to eat healthy all the time, not just when it's convenient and there's nobody else around to tease you, because you're not going to have cheerleaders. It's just amazing, but you're not going to have cheerleaders. Unless you're part of my practice, then you'll have cheerleaders, because we have a private Facebook group. We have a members-only website, and we will be your cheerleader, and we will be your support group, and we will applaud your victories and be there to help you make the better decisions and to educate you. And that's why this kind of practice is so important, because there's no place else that you can find the continued support that's going to cheer you into being healthy. And it's not all about, keep doing your bad things or as long as you're trying. No, there's a lot of tough love here as well. I think that you have to be very honest with people, and I am honest with people as far as, we're all, it's a process for all of us. But you can do it, and you have to set your mind that you can do it. It's a great way to practice. I love our members and what they stand for, and that they're in it to make themselves the best that they can be. We talked about hypertension and, for instance, and how we go about treating that. High blood pressure has a lot of several etiology, and we bill for it as essential hypertension, something that just happens to it. It's one of the number one diagnoses of people over 50 years of age. I think 75% of people over 50 are on one medication. Usually that's a diabetic, or usually it's antihypertensive medication. It comes from changes in the vasculature. You start to get endothelial dysfunction from plaque buildup, lack of nitric oxide production. The blood vessels can also become very stiff from salt intake over and over. You know, the standard American diet can have 7 or 8 grams of salt a day, which is directly toxic to the blood vessel. We all live under stress. None of us take time to focus on how we breathe, and many of us don't get the exercise that we should. So we live in this high sympathetic state where we're just adrenaline junkies, and our blood vessels are constricted because of our reactions to, you know, this fight or flight outpouring that we have because we've lost connection with our autonomic nervous system. We can also have kidney issues where as we get older, the arteries to the kidneys start to become diseased as well. And the kidneys themselves can have some pathology, but your kidneys want to see blood, so they turn on or release hormones that you cause us to retain salt and water and constrict given the chance. And so you put all this together in various percentages and you have high blood pressure. So we can give you a pill that doesn't target any of those specifically. I guess a diuretic or a water pill will get rid of water, which gets rid of some salt, but it doesn't change the salt that's already caused the damage, but it will decrease the blood pressure by decreasing the volume. We can give you some medications that cause the blood vessels to relax a little bit and dilate, but it doesn't restore their ability to dilate and contract when they need to, and there's side effects to that. We can decrease the blood vessel and the heart's reaction to adrenaline and try to tone things down, but we can't tone one thing down without toning other things down. So we cause changes in the lungs, changes in the brain, changes in the mind, changes in energy with those. We can change your ability to retain salt and water or to get rid of it, but not without the possibility of what causing worsening of your kidney function or abnormalities with electrolytes. So all those medications have side effects. The other option would be to change what you eat. So by eating nitric oxide producing blood vegetables, cabbage, kale, broccoli, spinach, Swiss chard, beet tops, you cause a release of nitric oxide, decreasing the salt into your diet. Fruits and vegetables have 800 milligrams of sodium by themselves, so we don't need much more salt to really be fine. We like people to stay under 1,500 milligrams of salt a day. That will certainly help lower your blood pressure and learning to breathe and get back in touch with our autonomic nervous system so that we can actually relax and get more parasympathetic and have some control over our blood vessels and our response to adrenaline and actually save our fight or flight for the things that really matter and then keep ourselves relaxed for things that we shouldn't be getting upset about. And then decreasing our protein intake by, eating a plant-based diet, which is going to protect our kidneys and they'll start to function better. So you see, all these things are ways to help get your blood pressure back to normal without ever having to take a medication. And, there was a recent article that was trashing Dr. Dean Ornish about, some of his work and is it really true and all these other kind of things. But you can see everything I told you didn't have any side effects. So just changing what you eat and how you breathe and exercising will result in normalization of your blood pressure without ever taking a medication that we know have side effects. And we know that won't reverse your disease, and none of these medications will be stopped because you're cured. So I would encourage you to take a moment before you make a choice that's not going to help you achieve your goal, whether it's to lower your blood pressure, your cholesterol, get you off of diabetic medications. Cheer for yourself, because nobody else is going to cheer for you, and it's okay to cheer for yourself because you deserve a win. And create a little space and hold yourself accountable and make choices. Not beat yourself up after a poor decision, but support yourself during the decision and let yourself make a good decision. So get out this weekend, get some exercise, stay dry. If you're in the house, you can do a lot of different exercises in your house, body weight exercises, running around your house and jogging in place, whatever you need to do to move, keep moving. do planks, squats. There's all kinds of things you can do. There's lots of yoga videos. You can spend some time breathing. Eat a plant-based diet. Cheer for yourself. Don't worry about what others say. Stay true to yourself. Have a good week.